Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have we been called to be bold? Have we been called to be confident? We know that we are not called to be arrogant, but what about the other two? Arrogance is an offensive display of superiority or self-importance. Yet is being bold being arrogant? Consider Goliath from the Old Testament. He was a giant. He stood over 9 feet tall. His armor weighed over 125 pounds. And his claim was this: choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Would Goliath's claim be considered arrogant, at least according to earthly standards? Or did he have the power to back up his claim? Was he making a defensive display of self-importance, or was he simply being confident? In contrast to arrogance, confidence is belief in the powers, trustworthiness, or reliability of a person or thing. Confidence, then, is placed in something reliable. Goliath certainly had confidence in his abilities. By earthly standards, he had reason to rely on his strength. But he was defeated by the youth David. It was not because Goliath lacked the physical ability. Again, he most certainly had the strength to rely on. But there was more power with David than Goliath had in his body. So are we called to be bold and confident? We must have some confidence in ourselves to do our daily tasks, most certainly. But that is not the kind to which we have been called. We've been called to be confident in our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll explore this further as we look at our epistle text from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of man in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul will refer to the boldness and access to God the Father that we have in Christ at the end of this section of his letter, but also applies to what he has written here at the beginning of this section. Paul had been arrested for the sake of the gospel, but he doesn't worry about it. He wrote to the Gentile hearers, boldly asserting that his arrest was to their benefit on behalf of you Gentiles. He reminded them that by his call, by revelation, to be a worker for Christ, it was to show that the purpose of his life since that point had been in service to Jesus. In other words, Paul reminds them that God had called him on the road to Damascus, and ever since that point, everything about his life had been done in the service of Jesus. For someone else, being arrested would mark failure or seem pointless in trying to achieve their goals. But for Paul in Christ, Paul knew that Jesus would work things out even as he was in those chains. Every part of his life would work together toward Christ's goals, even the hard ones. Paul had that confidence, not in himself, but in his relationship with God for the sake of Jesus Christ. Do you have that same confidence? Do you have that same assurance? Most certainly not in yourself, not in your own works, but then neither did Paul. And yes, Paul was an apostle. He had received power from our Lord Jesus to do great acts of service to our Lord. He had been baptized with both the Spirit and with fire. We, dear friends in Christ, have not been baptized with fire to perform those great acts of mercy and of grace, but we have been baptized into the same name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And through that baptism, we have access to the same Father, just as Paul himself did. And through that baptism, our lives in Christ also serve Christ's purposes. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Paul differentiated between his own power and that of God. Paul wrote that he had been the least of all sinners, because he had been a persecutor of the church of Christ. Whereas God had called him by the working of his, that is God's, power. So it was by God's power that Paul had become a believer, and more than that, a minister of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that he might reveal the plan of the mystery hidden for ages, which is the gospel. You and I, like Paul, were not worthy of God's power. We were not worthy of his grace. Yet God used this power to bring us to faith in the mystery of the gospel, his Son's death and resurrection for you and for me. Since the time of Paul, God has used his ministers to proclaim the gospel until it has come to us. And even today, God continues to prepare young men to become pastors, to continue proclaiming that word to the generations to come. He proclaimed the manifold of wisdom of God to the people at Ephesus from prison, to show that even though he was in chains, Satan had no power over him. Satan and the other rulers and authorities in the heavenly places had no power over him. While he may have been in prison, Satan could not take his baptismal rite of God's power in Christ from him. And as Paul demonstrated that for his hearers at Ephesus, so the churches continue to proclaim that by the power of God in Christ through baptism, Satan and the other heavenly authorities have no power over all who believe, including you. No matter what happens in your life, no matter whether things are going easy or things go hard, or even if you find yourselves in chains for Christ, Satan and the other authorities have no power over you. This is according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is to your glory. By our baptismal rite, we have access to the Father at all times and in all places, whether it in periods of easiness or hardship or even persecution. Nothing Satan and his authorities can take that away from you. So have boldness. Have confidence. Just not in yourself, but in your access to our God and Father through the same Savior, Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. No matter where you are in your life right now, whether things are going easy for you or you find yourselves in chains for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not lose heart. We have assurance from the reliability of God himself that all things will work together for good for you because of your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because of that, no matter what Satan throws at you, you and I both know God will work it together for your good, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.